All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a way back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects, and we are present and accounted for. Hopefully you are, too. Wherever you're going in the big city, you take us with you, and we'll have fun for the next 3 hours. Nick is here, Barry's here, I'm here. And the theme, if you missed it, because of the fantastic clock management of one Bill O'Brien and the Texans, are songs pre-2009 that have something to do with time. Okay?
Yes.
So,
facts.
No shocker. Barry was first with his list.
As usual.
Yeah.
I went home. I don't know why this is a big deal.
Who made it a big deal? I just made a statement. I just threw it out there.
All right. See, that's...
Nick, is your list done yet?
It is done.
Yeah, he sent it
out. Did you just cut and paste the extras I gave
Absolutely
you?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Why would I do such a thing?
Because it'd be easy. And you'd get it off your plate. And you wouldn't have to worry about it.
I sent you guys my list before the show on time, prepared and ready.
Yeah, you did. I'm going to need you to pay attention.
Well, you know what? There's a fresh start for everybody. I'll make it right here, right now. How about that?
Would that be a song about time? Right here, right now? Jesus Jones?
Yeah, it's a good call.
Huh?
Absolutely. What? I see what you did there.
All right. I have a question for you guys. We're not going to start with sports today because this is a burning question in my life.
Oh,
thank you. This has happened twice now in a week. Okay. And I need you guys. I put this on Twitter, and it just got off the rails and ridiculous. But I thought, you know what? I'll take it to the constituency as a whole.
Okay.
So twice in the last week, I have been at a restaurant out to eat. Eating. And the first time was Nora and I went to Chewy's. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Familiar?
Yes. Love the green sauce.
Yes, you
By
do.
The way, you can find a copycat recipe online and it's legit. And then there happened again last night at Chick-fil-A while I was waiting for the improv workshop to start. So this is twice now where I've been eating food in public and a person at the table next to me starts blowing their nose.
Okay.
Loudly and for a long time. Where are we on...
You were at my house last night?
Was it you?
No, Lisa.
Is she a nose blower?
At any time with no concern for volume.
But she do it like the worst... So it wasn't as bad last night. It was still not good. But the most egregious one was at Chewy's. Nora and I were eating. And I just started hearing...
Okay, but...
I was like, what is that noise? And I look over and it's this dude and he's got... The restaurant napkin, blowing his nose, right? And he's blowing and it goes for a while. It's not just a
yeah.
No, it was long, and then he stops and he looks at it.
Oh, see, that's not good.
Folds it in half, blows again, looks at it, and then sets it on the table.
How close is he to you?
The next table. The table next to me. Now, there is a wall between us, but he's at the table next to me. This is, I feel like, a bathroom activity. Blowing your nose is either a go outside or a bath. But if there are people eating, let's break down what you're doing, okay? You are essentially clearing your nose of boogers and snot. All right?
Yeah.
Now, I realize that that has to happen. Just like when you... When you bust ass in the studio.
I was
going to
say, the noise you made it sound, I was going to say, were you at the doctor's office with Antonio Brown or were you at Chewy's?
The noise, you bust ass in the studio. And I'm not mad that you do it. I just think that's a bathroom activity, right? So this is the same thing. If you're at a restaurant.
I thought it was a social activity.
I mean, I guess for some of us it can be. But if you're at a restaurant and your nose is clogged up, I get that. I'm not judging you, but how about you just go outside? Where no one is actually eating food.
Now, wait a minute.
Is that somebody wants to so disgusting?
You said you're not judging anyone, but you kind of are. Because I was going to say, I want Nick's opinion on this, too, because it could break the tie. I'm not all that offended as
you're
long
okay
as there
with
was
somebody
a,
blowing
as long
their
as
nose.
There was a wall like thing between
nope,
us.
But it was an open window. The wall was just like a little half wall. I could see them, they could see me. There was
so
no...
the germs could potentially travel over and hit you.
It's
what
not
you're saying.
Even about germs. It's about hearing the boogers leave his nose and just the disgust of knowing that he's blowing his nose into this thing and then he looks at it, then he does it again, then he sets it down on the table.
That's disgusting. And I'll say this, if it's not the germs that are bothering
it
you.
It wasn't the germs, because I know, I mean, it's not.
How long,
now,
literally?
If you sneeze and didn't cover your mouth, that's germs.
It's the noise?
It's the noise and knowing what he's doing.
Now, you have issues with noise.
I do, but that's not.
And I get that, but I'm just saying, to me, the noise wouldn't bother me. I mean, now, if it like if it keeps going stuff like that at a certain
noise
point,
implies
you're like, okay,
that
that's
there's,
enough.
But the noise implies that the boogers and the snot are exiting his body, and I don't need that image, visual or audio, while I'm eating. Yeah. Especially green sauce from Chewy's.
I'm not, well, the green sauce
I don't
does
need
put
that.
A twist
I'm,
on it.
I don't, yeah, I don't need that.
I just don't see, I don't take it to that level of thought. I just, I hear it, and maybe after the second one, I'd be like, okay, bro, that's about enough.
Dude, it was a good minute. Think about that. If I sat here for 60 seconds on air and blew my nose, how awful that would be just as far as just radio goes. Like, 60 seconds is a long time to listen to somebody blow their nose at the dinner table.
Yeah.
So you
yeah.
guys, this doesn't bother you guys.
It doesn't bother me.
Good with it.
If it's 60 seconds and it's stopped and I feel like the germs haven't traveled to where I'm sitting.
Really?
I think I would have gotten over it. After 60 seconds.
I glared at him. I just, he did it, and then I just waited until we made eye contact, and then I just shook my head.
I shook my head.
What'd he do?
Head.
Nothing. He just kind of looked away real fast, but I was like, you disgusting thing. Son of a bitch. That is so
you
gross.
You would not. You'd have been that guy at the Progressive commercial or whatever at the stoplight. You go, you want to go, bro? Let's go.
Don't ruin
you
my
do
discount.
This? Let's do this right now. Come on, Nick. You would have gone in half when you're like, go outside. We'll do this.
I can't believe you guys are okay with something like that.
I really thought it was the germs that was bothering.
No,
I did too.
Because I realized it's his mouth is covered and all that. So there's not germs that are flying around. If he had just sneezed and didn't cover it, then I would have been like, yo, no, I would have stood up and wanted to fight. But I just feel like that it's gross. No one wants to hear you. It'd be like farting at the table.
I was going to say, so you good if the dude does a silent one over on the other side of the table?
No.
It just kind of gusts into you, but you never hear it?
Nope.
But again, this is a bathroom activity, I feel like. And old dudes are the worst. Old guys that just feel like they can blow their nose anywhere.
First of all, they feel like they can do anything.
Yeah, they're just like, well, you know what? I'm going to blow my nose right here.
They got a handkerchief and then they put it back in their pocket.
In the movie theater. Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, they do that a lot.
Who does that?
That's old.
That's a Barry Warner move for sure.
Sure it is.
You think so?
100%.
Yep. Oh, God.
He has a handkerchief, like, he blows his nose, and he puts it back in his pocket.
They feel like they've paid their way possible, so they can scratch their grapes and blow their nose and do whatever they feel, pick it, whatever, in
public. And then
public.
They have that nasty handkerchief, and then they're offing it to their wife and stuff.
Like,
oh, my lipstick is smeared. Where's the handkerchief,
outside,
honey?
They start dabbing the corners of their mouth with
smear
it.
Smear my nasty old snot on your face. Here you go. Gross. Your old retired snot. Ugh.
So that was the end of the confrontation? You were able to
I just glared
keep
at
it
him.
Together
I
to
waited.
Eat?
And Nora, of course, is like, I hate going anywhere with you. She, of course.
How was the green sauce? Chunky?
No, it was good, as usual.
Okay.
But I was waiting. I was like, you nasty bastard. You're going to do that. I'm going to make sure you know that I was disgusted by
it. First or second chip,
it.
Did it cross your mind?
No.
As you're going into the green sauce?
No.
She said it wasn't that big of a deal.
It really is, though. It's a big deal. I think you should have more respect for your fellow man if it's out eating dinner, trying to have a pleasant dinner, a night out, date night, or whatever. No one wants to hear your nasty, congested booger nose. Blech. Gross.
Okay.
Okay.
So how was your night?
So I'm the only guy that bothers. All right. I wonder if the suspects are bothered
we'll find
by
out.
That.
Maybe
I'm
I don't.
Sure
maybe
will.
I don't realize how loud he was blowing his
we
nose.
We might
maybe
be in the minority.
It was
Nick.
Very loud.
We might be.
Did I
you
don't
just
know.
Call Nick a minority?
No. I
oh,
said
you
we.
Might. Okay.
Jeez.
We've really been stirring it up lately.
Yeah. So how was date night? Otherwise.
No, this was like Saturday or something like that. Okay. Yeah, this was last week or something like that. This was...
How was the... did you do the improv last night?
I did.
The class?
Yeah, we had a good class. I did new jokes. I'm telling you, dude, there is no better drug in this world than doing new material
and
on stage.
It, and having it go well. Yeah.
Oh, the high is like unbelievable.
You get a little pudgy winker bean on the stage?
What is pudgy winker bean?
Well, you said it was like there's
Oh, do I get a pudgy? Yeah. I thought you said, did you do a little pudgy winker bean?
No, did you get a little pudgy winker bean?
No, I don't. It doesn't give me.
Okay, but you said because it's exhilarating.
It is
exciting.
Exhilarating. It's, okay. It's like a runner's high. I mean, you know about that. You go running.
Yeah.
Do you get a chub when you go running from the runner's high? Well, there you go.
No. Unless
same thing.
It depends on the breeze. If you're wearing the shorts, you kind of
you wear those,
you
wear, silk
those
shorts.
Little, yeah, those little zip up there, cut up the tie.
I do
the
have
side.
A pair.
I know you've told me that, and it frightens me that you wear them.
I'm going to take a picture one day in them. For
I don't
you.
Know that I want. I don't know if I want all that.
Balls hanging out.
It'd be like the old John Stockton. There's a Kelly Trapuca. Remember him that played?
Yes.
There's a Kelly Trapuca basketball card where people swear that half of his grapes are coming out the pant leg because his shorts were so short.
Oh,
the old
really?
NBA wearing those, yeah, those grape huggers. Yeah. It's not a good look on them. It's not a good look on you.
Martin Zielinski said it's very rude and ignorant to blow your nose, but it's disgusting if you look at it.
Yeah. But you were looking at him to see him do that.
Yeah.
I'd be like looking at Lisa going, seriously, is this dude doing this?
I was looking at him because I thought there was an elephant next to us. All that damn noise. Why is that? Of course I'm going to look over there. Now, yeah, what is going on over there?
Okay.
Oh, just a guy blowing his nose. It surprised me because I was expecting an 80-year-old man. Because 80-year-old men.
And how old was this guy?
He was probably 18 to 20.
Oh.
Yeah.
He just doesn't know better then.
Oh, he knows better. Get your life together, kid.
Man.
It's disgusting. You're never going to get a woman like that.
Okay. Awesome. Well, that's the way we're going to start it, and we're going to keep it going. So if you guys want to join in.
I feel better now. Thank
Barry
you for letting me get
that
off my chest.
Where he finds out if you
nope,
are
not
for
an
or against.
That's stealing from Matt Thomas. We're not doing that.
What should we do? Let's poll everybody and see. Do you agree or disagree with public nose blower at a restaurant? We'll find out. If you guys want to reach us, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Call that number. Text that number. Or you can reach us via Twitter, where it's at @TheProducerNick, at @PacManJoel with a K, at @BarryIsFunny. On a Wayback Wednesday, Barry, hour number one, as we roll through right here on ESPN 97.5.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting rolling. Hour number one, 3-hour show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry with the first hour of songs. In honor of Bill O'Brien and your Houston Texans, songs about time management, clocks.
Timeouts.
Barry's got hour number one. What?
We in here talking about practice.
My bad on that one. Yeah. We're
actually talking about clocks and time management.
But yeah.
Close enough. So Barry's got hour number one. I've got hours number two and three. And we put a poll up. For this week, if you guys want to vote,
that's cool.
Just keep in mind that
what are you trying
to imply? List is actually my B-sides. I had a long, extensive list with lots of research done on the theme at hand, and after I selected my eight, I politely put at the bottom, here you go, Nick, in case you wanted to pick or choose a few of them, not every single one of them.
Clearly, you've never heard of parallel thinking. Barry Laminack has explained that multiple times on this program.
I don't listen to Barry.
That's also true.
True.
What you said is true, and what he said is true.
Right.
It's very much so.
So you can take whatever parallel thinking you want and realize that what you did was just lazily cheat by just copying and pasting an entire list I gave you.
What makes you think I don't like Britney Spears' Baby One More Time?
Oh, I know you like that, but you like it with the sound down.
It's a good workout song.
Oh, is that what you use it for?
Mm-hmm. No, I actually don't work out.
Do your lunges?
That's right.
Your lunges.
That's right.
Did you happen to watch the baseball game last night?
I did not. Okay. I was.
Oh, that's right. You're busy.
I was at the Houston Improv, but I did listen to the last three innings or so. So I got to hear the bullpen.
Oh, did you hear about?
Don't.
Did you hear about flight number 30 leaving the building over the tracks?
How many runs did the bullpen give up?
Well, I know Rondon personally gave up one
run.
Yeah.
Over three innings. What's that
ERA? And he gave up a double.
No. What's
the ERA?
Here
we go, numbers guy.
What's the ERA of if you give up one run every three innings?
You're a numbers guy.
Nope, I'm just
asking
you.
I'm an eye test guy.
Listen, I'm asking you a question, and I need an answer.
And I'm answering it. I don't trust Rondon.
The answer is a math answer. What's the ERA if you give up one run every three innings,
Joel? Heck
four?
Heck no. I'm done with Rondon.
That makes
no
sense.
I'm not doing it anymore.
What's
the ERA? He's Rondon, not Rondon.
Let me do the math for you. It's a three. If your bullpen had a three ERA, they're a badass bullpen. So I don't want to hear it.
Well, you are hearing it right now.
I don't want
to. No more Rondon. I'm done.
Oh, my God.
Nope. And then he has the confused look. Then he gives up a double. Then he has to have Brent Strom and the whole team come out and huddle. And then he starts trying to figure it out. Now,
you expect perfection from these guys?
Damn right. Everybody in the bullpen, from you guys every day.
Everybody in the bullpen has to have a zero ERA. That is asinine.
Nope.
Asinine.
Nope. Will Harris has got a one
point
something.
By the way, as much as you crap on Osuna, the league is hitting 190 against him. So stop.
No,
stop
you know
it
what
with
he
this
did? And then he even said
slander.
It. He finally stopped doing all that pause stuff in the middle of
if
his
you
delivery
want to slander
and just
Devo,
concentrated on
feel
pitching.
Free. But other than that, you need to stop with this
you brought
slander.
The bullpen up, not me.
Well.
So there.
As soon as I heard he gave up the run, I was pissed.
Oh,
and I was
my
like,
God.
I better
set Twitter ablaze,
I better
too,
start
with
working
all of our
on
listeners.
My defense.
Joel, are you warming it up? Are you ready? I'm like, nope. Just trying to prove a point.
See?
I don't trust him.
All right. Now you're going to make me pull up the stats again.
Well.
Bullpen ERA.
Don't make me blow my nose.
Yeah, well.
For a minute. I'll do it right here. And I'll put it on the desk.
That's fine as long as
right
I'm not.
There.
No, that's not fine.
Then
that
I'll
is,
do it like a scratch a snipper. I'll open
you're
the
making
book.
My eye twitch, Joel.
Jeez. What I did like was, you know, you think about it, and conceivably, you could have given up a Justin Verlander start, and he could have gotten a no decision.
Now, how come you don't crap on Verlander for all the home runs he gives up?
Because.
Okay.
He does it over six or seven innings, and he keeps his team in the game. He doesn't make it closer coming out of the pen in a one-run game or a two-run game and go, here you go. Let me put it up on a tee for you and let you see if you put one and put a stewardess on it before it flies right
again.
On out.
Make me pull up the stats again.
Anyway, Verlander gets the win. He would have gotten a no decision because of the Rondon bomb. The offense then piles on with a couple of extras. And they get another win.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, I like what the team is doing. You know what? That those Twitter people that had that question for us, it's starting to get a little tighter. And I was going to ask you this. Do you think if the votes aren't already tabulated?
I know where you're going with this already. Let me guess. Mike Trout, MVP, Alex Bregman.
I'm just curious, will you change your mind if...
Let me tell you why
or will
it's changed.
It let me say it better. Will it change voters' minds if... Out of sight, out of mind, Trout, injury, surgery on his foot. He's not going to play the rest of the year. And Bregman starts catching him. He caught him in walks last night. He's eight behind him in home runs, I think, with like 10 games to play. So, obviously, that's a little bit far-fetched. But the numbers are starting to get to where there's more parallels. Will that change the voting before the MVP tallies are
taken? It absolutely could.
Okay.
It absolutely could. And that's a valid point to make if Trout was playing, I think that this was over in September.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he's not played since September 8th, he's done for the year. He's essentially going to miss a month. And in that month, he hit .267 with two home runs in the month of September. And it absolutely could cost him the MVP. I think it's going to be a lot tighter. Do I think Alex Bregman is a shoe-in now? No. But I think that this race is about to significantly tighten based on what he's going to end with. Because you have to also look at, you know, how reliable has Alex Bregman been? And how much time
has
he missed?
We've talked about it. With everybody that's been out, he's been the guy that's carried them all season long.
Yep.
And the other exhibit I'll bring to the table is the fact that on the other side of the ledger in the National League, Christian Yelich was going to make it a super, super tight race. And his stats were right there with Bellinger. So it was going to be airtight. And instead, he got hurt. And now there's people writing articles saying Yelich should still be considered for National League MVP. There's no chance because people, out of sight, out of mind, people have forgotten about Christian Yelich. And in fact, they've moved on because the team hasn't missed a beat since he's been out and they keep winning.
Yeah.
So that's even more context to say, you know what? I'm just, Yelich is good, but he's not going to win the MVP
since
2 years in a row.
Since Trout left, Bregman has hit 4 home runs, 7 RBIs, and he's just been, has raised his average from, it was 297. Now he's at, he got up to, he's hitting 354 for the month. So
it's fantastic.
Yeah. This is going to be a lot tighter race because it's going to, where he finishes now as far as behind Mike Trout. I think he has a chance. I don't know if he'll catch him in home runs. He certainly has a chance.
He's got a chance. A lot of games at Minute Maid against bad teams that are not in it.
You said he passed him and walked.
Passed him and walks last night. How about
RBIs
this? How about
now?
He has 105. Over 100 walks in a season?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Pretty ridiculous. Trout's on base was 438. At Bregman's is 420, so he's got a little work to do there. Passed him in RBIs. But if he passes him in home runs, that's a thing that a lot of people look at, and he's got a better batting average than Trout did. He's hitting 296 to Trout's 291. This is becoming – it's going to be a lot tighter. If he can at least catch Trout with 45 home runs. Now, it took him more
– or get in the ball. If he gets to 40, I think that's a milestone that puts him in
– but even more so than the numbers, I think you have to look at the fact that Alex Bregman was there for his team all year.
Absolutely.
And this is a team, and he's kept his team
– and the team's
consistently winning all year.
Yes. That's the one that we always go back to as a caveat. Does it matter or not? Because most valuable player should mean that the team is performing at a certain level, too. The Angels are not. The Astros are.
Yep.
So as much as it was far-fetched even a week ago, now when you start looking at it, and you start looking at the fact that Trout is now done for the year, and people tighten up and be real close.
And I get it. People are going to say, well, but you look at it. Mike Trout's done for the year. He has 470 at-bats, and Bregman is still chasing him in some categories. And Bregman has 520 at-bats. But again, Bregman's been there for his team. So when you talk about value, don't talk about best player. Talk about value. There's more value in being there month in and month out for
health
your team.
Health is factored in because we talk about guys all the time.
Be at least.
Like Carlos Correa, who could be an all-star and an all-world player. But guess what? The knock on him is he can't stay healthy over multiple seasons.
Yeah.
Credit to guys that can.
Yep.
And the other crazy thing that we can talk about is the Astros, with that discussion, start putting the team in position to achieve something that has never been done before. The Astros could have the Cy Young Award winner, the American League Rookie of the Year, and the American League Most Valuable Player. It's never been done, and it could be done this year in Houston.
It's crazy to think about that, and it's really going to suck when they don't win the World Series and do that.
Barry Lamanek doing his best Lance Zierlein in the first half hour of the show.
Did he say that today?
No, Lance was the guy on Monday after the Texans win to basically say, let's just be honest, guys. Patrick Mahomes is better than Deshaun Watson. He always has been. He always will be. And you can just hear Granato going,
yeah. Well,
and I was like, Houston fans are going to get mad.
I think
you don't think they're winning the World Series this year?
Nobody watches Dodger games, man.
You think the Dodgers are beating the Astros in the World Series?
It's very possible. I'm thinking that if the Astros get to the World Series, it very well could be the Yankees.
Two blows in one show?
Although,
segment?
Losing Dellin Betanzas.
Yeah.
Boy, how sad was that?
Thanks for coming back. See ya.
What, at first outing, a couple pitches in.
And you see how he did it?
Achilles.
Celebrating a strikeout. Yeah. And he thought it was the third out. God, he skipped off the mound and tore his Achilles tendon. That's terrible.
Sucks for the Yankees. No, I think the Astros have a
don't go back on it now. You think they're going to lose to the Yankees and then lose to the Dodgers?
I said they could.
They're going to do it both.
No,
they're going to lose to the Yankees and the Dodgers. You just said it here on the air.
You're putting words in my mouth.
I would never get near your mouth. All right, half hour into the show. We continue to roll on. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Take a bite of me.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Lamanek with Nick Sciarra.
Second half hour of the show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, Joel, Wednesday, way back Wednesday, so to speak.
What is this?
Oh, it's definitely speak. This is OC. Time's up.
No clue.
It's a good song.
Did you know it, Nick? Was it intentionally the instrumental version?
It had to be.
It was.
Okay. That's probably why I didn't recognize it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we were talking a little bit about the Astros. Another good win. Good pitching performance from Verlander. And again, that people don't realize that we're talking about some rarefied air here. If there's somehow, some way Bregman catches Trout and they go clean sweep on all the awards. Because we know that the Cy Young is between Cole and Verlander and nobody else. We know that the American League Rookie of the Year is Yordan. And the only thing in question is Bregman had got enough time to catch Trout, who's injured and done for the year?
Yep.
So that's a little extra incentive and excitement to watch as well. You mentioned Dellin Betances. The Yankees were all giddy about the fact that they were getting pitchers back so that they were going to be ready for the playoffs. And Betances, who's always been a key factor in their bullpen, regardless of who's closing, came back from injury and looked very good after Luis Severino put together a really, really sharp start for them. So it looks like he'll be moving to the front of their rotation come playoff time. But Betances gets two strikeouts. He thinks it's the third out. He celebrates a little bit coming off the mound and just like that tears his Achilles tendon. That'll about do it for him. So not so good news for a Yankees team that, like the Astros and the Dodgers, are watching the scores every night because they know how important home field advantage could be come playoff time.
Yeah, it sucks. That poor Yankees team, man. I don't feel sorry for the Yankees very often, but you do have to admit that what they've been able to do. Aaron Boone, to me, has to be manager of the year.
I don't disagree with that.
With what they've been able to do with the amount of injuries that they've had to endure, and to be up on the Rays by 10 games when you consider how far back they were and how bleak everything looked with how everything, you know, how these guys were just getting banged up. And then as soon as guys come back, they play a game or two and they're on the IL again. So hats off to Aaron Boone and the way he's been able to do that. And hats off to the rest of that team for picking them up and not getting down. And, you know, a lot of guys would give up, but nope. I mean, you got Giancarlo Stanton on the 60-day DL. It's just been a lot of injuries for those guys here. I mean, this is just day to day. Sanchez, Encarnacion, Cameron Maben, and J.A. Happ are all day to day on the Yankees, not counting
so
who's
Sanchez
on the
didn't
IL.
Go to IL. He's just day to day with day-to-day. The groin.
Yeah. It's just crazy, man. Crazy amount of injuries. So they got Judge back, so that helps. He has, you know, he's not had a great year when he's been back.
What's Stanton's deal?
Well, he went to the 60-day.
I know it. But, I mean, are they expecting him to be 100% come playoff time? Because
no, I don't think he's going to play this year.
He's not even going to be back for the playoffs? I thought the plan all along was to have him ready for the playoffs.
Is it?
I don't know. Because that's a huge blow to them.
Yeah. I would have to get an injury update, but I thought he was done.
That'll be interesting to find out.
Okay.
Because
oh, no. Yeah, here's an article. Yeah, he's back. It says he's back right when the Yankees need him. So we'll see.
Again, at what level? You know, what are we going to get from him? You know, we saw Correa back last night, but obviously he's facing a guy he's had trouble with in the past, but he had nothing but strikeouts across the board against Lance Lynn in his career until he weakly flew out to the shortstop late in the game. But it's going to take a while. And with a guy that like that, that relies on power and timing and all those things, he's not a singles hitter. So we'll see if he can get it back. But you know, again, from an Astros perspective, the positive is Ryan Pressly not only threw yesterday before the game, but he threw to live hitters. For all intents and purposes, for everybody that was talking about it afterwards, said he looked good, threw the ball well.
Yeah.
That's what you need to hear. Because that's the kind of thing. The Astros have to be thanking their lucky stars, like you were talking about, with MVP and otherwise. You just have to be healthy at the right time. Because it doesn't look like you're going to have Colin McHugh. It doesn't look like you're going to have Brad Peacock, though there's still some hope.
I was listening to, I don't remember what it was, but I heard Luno mention one of those names as a possibility for the bullpen in the ALDS.
I think it was Peacock.
Yeah.
Because now I didn't even hear the severity of McHugh, which initially was going to be a 10-day IL stint where you thought he was just trying to, you know, get the couple of kinks worked out and things like that. But instead, now there's rumblings that this could be something, you know, more season-ending. And you hope that's not the case. But overall, at least 1 through 8, your lineup looks very, very solid. And again, I go back and I throw this to you because I don't think people put enough stock into this. You can talk about the trade and how the Astros got Yordan for Josh Fields and all those other things, but the thing that you need to be talking about more so than that was This was a team at the start of the year that thought that Tyler White was going to be your guy that played first base and DH'd.
Yeah.
And if he wasn't when he got off to the atrocious start and Yuli got off to such a slow start and they were worried, the first thing they were worried about was we need to get a bat. And then they were able to take all the prospects that they would have used, or at least part of the prospects they were to get used to get a bat, and realized Jordan was good and he was going to stay good, that they used them all to get a guy like Zach Greinke. And you're like, wow, this team, because of Jordan, turned a corner in a hurry and got better.
You talk about value.
Yep.
The fact that he made them a lot better by not having to deal with Tyler White and all that. It's a great point. How about the fact, too, last night, I didn't realize this, but how about I'm driving home and I hear Correa's at the plate and, you know, he was 0 for 3 or something like that before his last at-bat, or 0 for 2.
With two strikeouts, yeah.
Hitting, what, seventh in the lineup?
Yep, seventh, yeah.
And I thought, ooh, is that just because he's working back? But then I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, well, who do you move? Springer, Altuve, Brantley, you're not changing that. Then Bregman in the four hole, you're not changing that.
Nope.
Put Alvarez behind Bregman so that you have to pitch to Bregman or you have to walk Alvarez, which means Gurriel is up. So you maybe put Correa ahead of Yuli, but Yuli's been tearing the cover off the ball.
Yep. And even below him, a guy like Reddick, who had 5 hits in the last game of the road trip, and he's starting to get right.
Yeah.
You know, and even the catchers. Look, this was a team, too, that was another position of concern for the Astros at the start of the year, was the catching position. And Chirinos carried him early. Then he tapered off a little bit. And then they got over the other backups and the experiments and the things that they thought could actually be a fill-in. And bringing a guy that was not only a really good catcher behind the plate during the regular season, we know he had problems in the playoffs, Maldonado, but a great clubhouse guy that everybody loves. And then he starts getting a little pop, and every now and then he gets you a timely home run. Catcher's been a big position of a plus-plus there, too, in terms of those two guys.
In this lineup, you don't have to have a catcher that's hitting 280 and you know, 25 bombs. If you just got a guy that gets on base on occasion, and, you know, Chirinos getting on base at a 350 clip, you'll take that. You'll take that all day from the catcher position.
Did you see that, too? And, you know, I know you're the stat guy of the two of us, but they had a stat in terms of best production out of the nine hole. So you only in games when you batted ninth. Jake Marisnyk leads ninth hole hitters, I believe, in home runs with like 10 or whatever he's got. But you know, they're getting production all across that lineup. So you can talk and brag about the Twins and their home runs and the Yankees and their power and all the things that they can do, you know, hitting the long ball. But this team offensively, 1 through 9, is better, as good, if not better, than any team in baseball, in my opinion.
Yeah. Jason Hebert said he would vote Rocco Baldelli as the manager of the year in the AL for what he's done with the Twins.
I mean, he'll get votes. I think Melvin should get some votes because of the way that the A's have played in the second half. But I think that you're absolutely on it. When you talk about a manager, I don't care what their payroll was. I don't care what their lineup was supposed to be. You talk about a manager that's had to juggle that many injuries and has kept that team that dominant. It's one thing to say, hey, we're going to win a division like the Twins. Or it's one thing to say, hey, we're going to win a wild card.
Yeah.
But to be a team that's talked about as one of the three most dominant teams for a year with in baseball all those injuries.
All the injuries.
Yeah.
Because I realize that the Astros have gone through their first share of injuries as well with Correa and everything else. But they've had a constant, and that's Verlander and Cole all year. No problems there. When you look at the Yankees, they've dealt with it in their pitching staff and on the field and in that lineup, up and down. So I think, I mean, you're right. I think those are your three candidates, but I have to give it to Aaron Boone because when you looked at how many times they've gone to the IL, I think 39 now. 39 players have been sent there. They've sent somebody to the IL 39 times, which is by far the most in baseball. Man, that's a hell of a job managing, and you're basically sitting on the best record in baseball, and you're going to win 100 games this year by doing that.
And
that doesn't happen very often.
You're doing it in a really tough division, too.
Yeah, that doesn't happen very often. And say what you will, but the Indians aren't the Indians with all the injuries that they've had, so the Twins have had it a little bit easier. That central division is pretty easy when you talk about the White Sox, the Royals, and the Tigers.
Yeah.
That's a much easier division to play in, too. So
no doubt about it. All right, so we've talked a little baseball. We've got other things to get to. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, join us, 713-780-3776. Text that number. You can also call that number and be a part of the show live, or you can hit us up on Twitter as we look forward to taking you for the next 3 hours or 2 and change as we get all the way to 4 o'clock. Blitz will take you till 7 right here on ESPN 97.5. Before we head to the break, I do want to tell you about the Houstonian. If you're looking to get a quick getaway, a staycation, so to speak, stay in Houston, but get away from all the hustle and bustle, you need to check out the Houstonian. I think everybody's heard about the name, the Houstonian. They just don't know how great it is and the upgrades they've made to make it one of the premier facilities in the country for a staycation getaway. 27 wooded acres. I mean, there's jogging trails. There's nature hikes. In September and October, they have complimentary hikes for families every Saturday and Sunday with Scout Kelly. She's a certified trail leader with the Boy Scouts. All kinds of animals, birds, plants to learn about. Perfect for the whole family. And then you can go to the pool because there are 3 temperature controlled pools, separate children's pool, lap pool to get your exercise in, secluded garden pool if you just want to tan and hang out with the fam or your significant other. And they have a complimentary access to their 175,000 square foot health club, all just for staying at the Houstonian. Why drive to a resort 3-4 hours away or fly even further than that when the Houstonian's right here in your backyard? It's in the Galleria area, people. It's accessible. It's close. It's nearby. And it's fantastic because they're going to pamper you. Their spa is absolutely off the chains. Trellis, they're going to pamper you, take care of you. Massages, body wraps, facials, manicures, and more. Check it all out. And of course, those rooms, they're luxurious with plenty of room to spread out. Spectacular suites with great views. You'll forget what city you're in. I mean, don't take my word for it. Go to thehoustonian.com. Just go to go to Houstonian.com. There's videos. Let the videos play, and you're going to see what I'm talking about. It's the easiest and best getaway staying right here in Houston, Texas.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
If you're a small business owner, there's no better place to find the impact hire to help your business than LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs takes the time to learn more about who you're looking for and then recommends qualified candidates from their community of engaged and career-minded people, candidates who you likely won't be able to reach anywhere else. The truth is, over 70% of the U.S. workforce is on LinkedIn, and posting your job on LinkedIn gives you the best chance of finding and starting a conversation with your next star recruit. It's no surprise a new hire is made every 8 seconds using LinkedIn. So build your winning team by posting a job on LinkedIn and visit LinkedIn.com/sports to get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/sports for $50 off your first job post. LinkedIn.com/sports. Terms and conditions apply.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number one, rolling along, way back Wednesday. Nick, Barry, Joel in the studio. Before we get too far, fellas, I want to play you something that I stumbled upon on the nets this morning. Played it for Lisa, got a little chuckle out of it, because as a reporter, live on TV, sometimes it comes at you fast, and sometimes too fast. Check this out. This was in Los Angeles.
We tried to reach out to the man who died in this pursuit. They were unavailable for comment. Micah, back to you.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, it be like that sometimes.
I can't see. He must be avoiding you.
You know, it's how bad I feel for that. When I first saw, I think it was Rex Chapman that I saw retweeted because it was everywhere.
Oh, was
and,
it?
Oh, my God. And something like that goes viral instantly.
Sure, yeah.
And I felt so bad. I mean, obviously, I laughed because I was like, he's stupid ass. And then I was like, oh, you know, she is just runt. She is just, could you imagine?
This is like Sarah Donchey going under the desk during
the
earthquake.
Sarah alone. That's
it's the same thing. I'm talking about the fact that it went viral.
Yes.
Right? And it went viral in a hurry.
Reach out to the man who died. They were unavailable for comment.
Jeez, I can't understand it. He won't answer his phone. I just want a phone interview. It's not that hard.
If he doesn't call me back, he's dead to me. Okay? I'm just...
What a stiff. Call her back. Do the interview. See what I did there?
That's I feel bad for her because she is mortified.
Now, I will say this, though. I would bet you that KTLA, where it came from, in a sixth sense of just enjoying the publicity they're getting by it, is just like, you know what? You're probably going to have more followers, and we're getting a lot of run out of this. It's okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, as a reporter, yeah, they feel awful because Lisa was just like, been there. And
said something stupid. Yeah.
Or, you know, like she said, you're trying to wrap up a story and there might be some last minute details and someone, the producer's in your ear going, 15 seconds, we got another story we got to get to before the break. Let's go. And you're like, and then all of a sudden
it's annoying when, and I know we have to do it this way, but like if we're doing a read or we're talking about something and Nick will have to tell us something in our ear, it can really throw you off. Like if you ever notice sometimes, we pause like that for no. It's probably because Nick is talking to us, and we're trying to say a thought and listen, and we're too stupid to be able to do both.
But you never reached out to a dead guy in the process.
I mean, just depends if I'm going to get a good quote from him. That poor thing.
Here's the other thing, because you're such an integral part of the show in terms of the dialogue. Too.
Let's not pump it.
You heard that word?
Yeah, you're not a producer. You're a part of the show. So that's why sometimes you'll say something. And you know, we're in the middle of a conversation. I'm like, now wait, did that come into the ear that was just me?
I still don't know in 3 years how you don't know the difference. How do you not know the difference between in the ear and over the air?
I think it's y'all's headphones. I think his headphones is
different. I know when you're talking to us in our ear and when you're over the air.
So because you do, it's absolutely perplexing that anyone else could have any kind of difficulty.
I think it's because you don't wear your cans on your ears or something. Because I know if I hear
Nick, my cans on my ears right now?
I hear Nick in one ear, that means it's in the ear. If I hear Nick in both, it's over the air. It's that simple.
So essentially, you prefer it over the ear than in the ear.
You would have to be really dumb to mess that up.
Joel, you struggle with your headphones. Barry struggles with the microphone.
He also struggles getting his headphones to work.
I mean, you're always breaking them.
They work.
You son of a bitch. Listen to me. I've got proof when I walk in here that this microphone is all
evidence is all over Twitch.
Yeah.
You broke it.
Go look at it. No, go look at it.
Snapping the boom.
I literally, what was it, Monday?
Aggravating
AD.
I
took a picture of the mic stand straight up in the air, and I walked straight to AJ's office. I was like, see, don't say nothing to me. This is how it was when I walked in. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear no crying and whining. No.
Don't start none, won't be none. That's
right.
What I'm saying.
That's right.
But usually if I say something incredibly inappropriate and you hear it in your ear,
obviously
it wasn't on the air.
Yeah. But it does give you cause for pause for a quick second.
For sure.
As opposed to, Mr., I can't even keep my headphones working, let alone I don't care about if you're breaking the microphone or not, and you're going to blame headphones?
I'm sorry my headphones run out of battery.
You know how many times I'm in the middle of a segment with you and all of a sudden you're like, damn it! Aren't working. The wearable's got batteries.
I don't do any of that stuff.
Does he?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
We
just scared AD. He just came rushing in. He's like, is it broken? I'm like, no, man, my bad. We were just messing around. My bad.
I don't do any of that stuff.
You're bad, by the way.
The listeners don't even know when my headphones go out unless somebody says.
Are you kidding me? You try and turn your mic off and then scream at the top of your lungs. They know on SB Nation Radio that your headphones aren't
working.
That's
not true.
Yeah. Because your decibel level reaches Patrick Creighton's
level. Exactly right.
When you're mad.
Yep.
I hate both of y'all.
Start yelling.
None of this is true. Truck driver Pookie wants to know when the Astros clinch the division.
Pookie.
3 games to clinch the division. 1 game to clinch the playoffs.
Yeah.
So it's a combination of A's wins and
A's losses,
Astros wins.
Yep. So that's your numbers watch from the numbers guy as we continue to watch Astros baseball.
Why am I the numbers guy? They asked the question.
You act like it's a bad thing.
You try to make it a bad thing. I don't run from it. You try to make it a bad thing.
I prop you up and make it you're our analytics guy. I tell everybody that you know the stats.
You never try to prop me up.
I don't call you a dumbass number cruncher. I call you an analytics guy.
He calls you a numbers guy.
I mean, the first 2 years you called me a dumbass numbers guy.
That's true.
I called you a lot worse than that. I mean, that's just safe for the airwaves.
That was just to my face. Yes. Okay.
Oh, no. There were those moments, too. But I'm just saying, I think it should be a credit to you that you delve deep into the numbers and you always bring those numbers to the table in discussions.
Okay.
I don't think that's bad.
I'll take it as a compliment.
You should.
Can we talk? We didn't talk about this yesterday, but this whole Felipe Vázquez thing going on in Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
that's crazy. It's really crazy.
If you hadn't heard, what was that in my ear? What happened? Did you just say Twin Peaks in my ear? I don't know what's going on right now. See, you guys want to do? You see?
Was that directed at me?
I think it was.
Was that directed at me? I just want to be clear.
I'm pretty sure. Did you say that in my ear, or did that go out over the air? I don't know what happened right now.
I'm not sure right now, but I'm trying to verify. That's a shot at me.
I should just whisper it on the air.
Fair enough.
Twin Peaks.
You should.
Hey, Joe, don't let nobody know what you got in Twin Peaks coming up. This is where you shut up and start talking about the sponsor.
Do your Twin Peaks. Joe, we got to go to break on time.
No, because then Barry hears it, and Barry starts talking about porn, and I got to transition to Twin Peaks. That's what happens.
Speaking of porn. He does that intentionally.
No,
speaking of porn, rest in peace to Jessica James. Yeah. She passed away. Joel, what was your favorite Jessica James video? Oh, you have a read.
There's that uncomfortable pause that we talked about, too. Do you know what today is besides that?
Jessica
Sad
James,
news?
Porn star dying day? What?
Today, Nicholas, is National Cheeseburger Day. What better way to celebrate National Cheeseburger Day than to score a cheeseburger and fries for just $6, valid at participating Twin Peaks, and there's 5 in the Houston area. There's also one in Beaumont. But the 5 that I'm talking about are conveniently located, and they're in Shenandoah, off of 290. They're all over the place. They're off of Kirby. And the fact of the matter is, today on National Cheeseburger Day is the best reason in the world to go in and check out a Twin Peaks. And as I always tell you, it's eat, drink, scenic views. That means that all the food is made from scratch, from the appetizers to the main courses. And it's delicious. And it's going to be served cold. Served hot with cold beverages. 29-degree draft beers. There's actually a readout on top of the bar that's going to tell you exactly how cold those draft beers are. So they're going to be ice cold and thirst quenching. And, of course, it's the beautiful Twin Peaks girls. They're waiting on your tables. They're taking care of your every need. If you look at a TV and say, can you put the Astros on that set? Can you put college football on that TV? Can you get me some soccer on that one? They'll do it and make it sure it all happens fast because they're accommodating with great customer service and always do it with a smile. That's the way the Twin Peaks girls do it. And I'm telling you, if you need to get out of the house and watch sports, it's the only place to go because you feel safe, you feel comfortable, you got great food, beverage, and all your viewing pleasure taken care of. It's one location, and that's Twin Peaks. It's 5 locations across the Houston area. And as I always tell you, it's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views. It's got to be Twin Peaks.